The first question is, where do you come from?
I'm from New Brunswick.
Nice.
I'm not that far away.
Yeah?
You know, I first came here in 1975. And the fellow that I was renting from at the time, which was down in New Haven, I said I was from away, and he laughed, and he said, no, you're not, you're only from across. So I said, well, that's amazing, that distinction.
Yeah.
From New Brunswick. I'm from across. Christine, all her family was in the Armed Forces. They happened to be living in New Brunswick when I met her, but she's just all over Canada. So we were all of 20 years old when we came to CEI. And she's a weaver and a spinner, fiber artist. And we were business partners first, and then wound up, you know, getting married and having kids. And she put the weaving on the back burner for a few years when she was raising kids and getting to small farming. But she's right back into it now. We're empty nesters. All our kids are grown up, and we're grandparents. So she has four looms set up in what used to be bedrooms in our house. And I work over here, which is a much safer. We exhibit our work together, but we don't actually make our work together. My craft is a little dirtier by nature, and hers is very clean and meticulous. So she has her studio at home, and we have very clear distinctions on how we run the business, and always have, and it's been working for us for 32 years now. So.
32 years?
Yeah.
So why did you move to, you said you moved to New Haven first?
Well, I did, yeah. You know, coming from New Brunswick, I was working in a place called Opus Craft Village north of Fredericton, New Brunswick, and in New Brunswick, the mentality was you had to be somewhere near the Trans-Canada Highway to pull the tourists off the highway that were coming down from Quebec and Ontario. And so the same thought was in my mind when I came to CEI, and I was not far from the Trans-Canada Highway in New Haven. In retrospect, it was a terrible place for a business, but now I'm back here on the Dixon Road, so I'm even farther removed from the madding crowd. But I used to own a business up in Stanley Bridge in the 80s, and spent too much time running around being a business person and not enough time making pot. So I bought this building. It's right next door to my house, so I get to walk to work. And, you know, when I'm not upstairs with customers, I'm down here producing. So these days, being as unbusy as it's been, I'm getting lots of production done. So I'm here every day, 7 days a week, so I can get a lot of work done.
The idea when you moved to the island to open up this business and, you know...
Well, you know, in New Brunswick, there was already very much a handcraft tradition sort of built up around the craft school in Fredericton. That's where Christine was studying weaving. And crafts was, you know, Alec Campbell was in office when we arrived here, and there was a budget for handcrafts, and they had just opened a pretty swank new craft school in West Royalty. Which later became the School of Visual Arts, and Holland College took it over. At the time, it was run by the government, the Department of Education and Industry, sort of partner to run the thing. And I was hired to teach extension classes and night classes at the ripe old age of 20, 21. You know. I didn't have any teaching degree or anything, but their philosophy was you find someone that can do something that can impart that knowledge to other people and send them out. I taught extension classes in O'Leary and Summerside. It augmented my meager income, and then, you know, in the 80s things took hold, and we had a business in the old Wheatley River School for 7 years, and then we were up in Stanley Bridge for 5 years. Just long enough to want to retreat back here to the woods, you know, for a really simpler life. And it's been working here since 1991, so, you know, I'm just a one-man operation again. Though my son worked for me for a few years, and now he's working in this studio doing his own work and renting space from me when he gets a chance. When he's here to work, I get to spend time with my granddaughter, so
yeah.
It's nice to
so Michael's doing the same sort of work.
Well, there's some of his work here, and he's doing some moon snail soap works. He sort of custom makes different styles of ink for different stores, which is pretty smart, and he's selling to stores that I don't sell to, like moon snail. They sell a considerable amount of his work.
Yeah.
And the starfish and the dragonflies and the snails and things are images that carry through to what they do in there.
Yeah. Is this something that was passed down to you from within the family?
Yeah.
Struck it on your own?
Yeah, I'm from a rather academic family. Everybody in my family went to university. I was expected to do just that. I took a summer job in a pottery studio in 1973. And I just kept working there when September came along. So, much to the shock and dismay of many members of my family.
What brought you to the Dixon Road after being in New Haven?
Well, we were in New Haven, and then we moved to Oyster Bay Bridge, and we rented there. But it was really inexpensive land that brought me to the Dixon Road. I already knew people over here. A friend of ours was living in a place affectionately known as the Rip. Rip is no longer supposed to be buried in the ground over there, but our friend Liz Vane was living in the Ritz, and we came over here, and we knew this couple that lived in a cabin in the woods, but they were splitting up, and the place was going to be sold, so we bought a cabin, and it was close to 40 acres of land in 1979, because that's what we could afford. You know, the cabin didn't have electricity or running water or anything like that, but we sort of turned it into a home over the years. Finally put the flush toilet in. When Michael started school, my mother was sure that he'd be traumatized at school if he didn't know how to use the flush toilet. Anyway.
So you're off the grid at the time?
Well, just very briefly.
Yeah.
So we soon got the power in there and drilled a well.
So, you mentioned that the cheap land in the woods was attractive. Did you know the community as well?
I did. I knew people over here. Phil, we had known, and actually, because of teaching extension classes in Summerside, one of my students was a guy named Brian Clark, who's affectionately known as Gladbone around here. He was living in the geodesic dome back behind Phil's place.
I want to see that.
This was 1977, I think. And Brian invited us to a party at Phil's house, and he had been sugaring. It was sugaring season. And that's where I met a lot of the people in the community that one particular day, and one thing led to another, and when we had the opportunity to buy land over here, it was a good fit. But I was still commuting to work in Wheatley River at the time. I owned the old Wheatley River School until 1985, actually. So I had to drive all the way over there to work every day. Nowadays, with the price of gas, it would be out of the question. Now I get to walk to work, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
The sense of the community here, did you, was that attractive? Well, I mean, that's kind of a dumb question.
The
nice sense of the community.
There were like-minded people over here at the time, and, we weren't really hippies, because we were just kids from New Brunswick who came over here, but we aspired to a certain kind of lifestyle and a simpler life, and Christine was very much into the farm animals and stuff. We had goats that we milked for a number of years, and we still have sheep, and she's actually milking one of the sheep now, and I don't know why we didn't know about this years ago. I prefer the sheep's milk to the goat's milk. I don't require a lot of milk, just a little froth for my cappuccino.
Yeah.
And the sheep does a really good job there. But she uses fiber in spinning and weaving, so we keep a few sheep around the place. And of course, we have a donkey to protect the sheep from the coyotes. And we've got more dogs and cats than you can shake a stick at. And she's starting to acquire poultry again.
So.
One of my favorite stories to tell on 15 was back in the old days when we were earnest young. Back to the Landers, and I was working at the old schoolhouse in Wheatley River, so it would have been before 1985. And she called me from home here, and she'd just come back from the exhibition down in Crapo, and she bought herself some chicken stuff. She said, "Now, I just bought a pair of silky bandies. I must have misunderstood, because I wasn't thinking chickens at all, right?" She said, "Wait till you see them. They're really small, and they got long white feathers." And I said, "I'll be right home." So, and now she's getting chickens again. We're getting them golden Polish, and we already got a couple of fancy birds from the guy up in Kansas.
So you mentioned the whole bachelor land ideal. Were you gardening as well at the time?
I'm not the gardener, no, but Christine is.
Yeah.
You know, you can take a walk over to the house and see the little mini setup she has now. I'm going to be heading over there for lunch shortly.
Yeah.
We don't, you know, compared to what we used to do, you know, when the kids were at home, we had a big garden and stuff. Now we have a few little raised beds around the place. It's like a little Italian garden. But we have, you know, because we have the critters, the dogs in particular, we got this new puppy who likes to dig, and we have to fence them out of the garden, so our yard has become a bit of a maze. Fences up for the sheep, the fences up for the dogs, and, yeah.
The desire to live simpler life come from? Because you mentioned all these family members going off to university.
I don't know, you know, it was the 70s and there was the first energy crisis, you know, and we were going to eat with wood and use less, get by with less. And there seemed to be a lot more emphasis put on things back then, and then in the 80s it was all Hotel Boogie, you know, we actually owned a pretty successful business, and I was running for it, back and forth to the North Shore all summer, and we thought ourselves, you know, pretty successful craft people, but, you know, it sort of defeats the whole idea when what you're doing becomes business, you know. I'm working on a simpler scale now, enjoying it as much as I did when I was in my 20s. It's nice work, you know. You have to enjoy making pottery and getting your hands dirty, otherwise it would be pretty tedious, you know. I've been basically doing the same thing since 1973, but you know, at the end of the day, you can sit back and look at what you've done and have an amazing amount of pride in what you do, and then every twice a week or so, you get to unload a kiln, which is like Christmas morning if everything has turned out right. You know?
Yeah.
You get to open it up and it looks